You are listening to episode 23 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex. Whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wodkey, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me. Super thrilled to have Dr. Victoria Rovini, also known as Dr. Vixen, join me today. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, Jen. Excited to be on.
I know. You and I met way back at the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, where you got your doctorate.
Yes.
And you also got
a lifetime ago.
No, right? And you also got your sexological bodywork certificate from them as well, correct? Or did you do that somewhere
else? Yeah, that was also there, 2013.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've been doing orgasmic yoga circles, and you're a board member, educator, and I love this part, the Jill of all trades at the Center for Positive Sexuality.
Yeah. Hey, that's me.
My favorite thing I remember about you, and we mentioned this on our phone call a couple weeks ago, we were at the Institute, and some of the best learning I found happened outside of the classroom. And I had said to you, I think you had brought along a bag of toys, kinky toys. And I was like, I want to try all of those. And you were like, all right. So you and I, a friend, went to a hotel room, and you like laid all these toys out on the bed, and I think I dropped my pants, and you like... let me sample them all, or sampled them all upon me.
I like to facilitate experiences. What can I say? And I try to travel prepared.
Well, yeah, as you do. I don't think I have the photo anymore, but there was a great photo of my red ass after you were done with me.
Dang. That'd be awesome to check the archives for that.
Yeah, I probably don't need that out there publicly, but no, it was super fun. So, you've been doing quite a bit of orgasmic yoga facilitating, as I mentioned a little bit earlier. Probably a lot of people have no idea what that is, or from the name, they think possibly it's something that it really isn't. So can you give us a little rundown on what that is and what it looks like?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So orgasmic yoga is a practice that I was first introduced to while I was going through the sexological bodywork training. And we would start our day when we were doing in-class, the in-class portion of the training, working on each other. We would start our days doing this. And the first thing I'll say is that it will look different every time you do it, whether you're doing it solo or in a group. But the overall idea is that we're looking at the word yoga from a much bigger perspective than we usually typically do. Yoga right now, if you think about it, you're thinking poses and you're doing like downward dogs or what have you and sun things. I don't know.
Gwyneth Paltrow's yoga.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's maybe what it might be. Yes. White people yoga. But when we look at yoga in the orgasmic yoga practice, we're thinking more of the idea of a practice that's to be practiced over time. Using our breath, movement, sound, intention, full body touch. And it's not so, even though orgasmic is in the name, it's not so much about how many orgasms can you have in the time, but more encouraging, building arousal, dipping into our erotic menus. And it could be so many things. So I tell my students that they can be, there's a huge range. They can be, you know, covered up in a blanket, fully clothed, with the blanket all the way up to their chin, simply breathing, doing Kegels, and that's totally acceptable. And then all the way to the other end of that spectrum where from the moment I say go, maybe I was the last person still clothed. So there's been a huge range in there as well. For how people choose to participate in practice.
So when you say full body touching, it's, oh, that's only yourself, right? Like you're not interacting physically with the other participants, are you?
Right. No. So everybody is only touching themselves, even if they attended maybe with a partner. That's not to say that if someone wants to do more coupled or partnered yoga practice, they have to negotiate that on their own. But in the space that I, the facilitation that I do, it's much more of an individual practice.
So are you basically talking them through like mental and touch exercises? Like how do they get into that practice?
Yeah. So after I talk at them for a good while, setting up the practice and the boundaries and all of the different suggestions that we can do, once we get started, I let them know also that it's not going to be super structured. Like I don't have an agenda for every minute or every second. It's a lot more free flowing, do kind of what feels right to you in the moment. But as we go along, I do give suggestions, reminding everybody to check in on their breathing. I invite them to get up and move around or change their position. I invite them to do like a heart connection, which is like a hand on your heart. And maybe the other hand can be on your bits or just doing other kinds of exploration. I remind them to check in on intentions if they set them. You know, folks maybe don't focus on their breath when they're typically self-pleasuring or might hold a lot of tension in different places. Or it could be larger intentions around wanting to focus on your communication and like if you're a little more like tantra-ish in that kind of realm, you might focus on your throat chakra and put intention to being more clear in your communication and how you talk to people. Just a little example of that. And I never tell people, this is always, I've been making this more clear lately for people who are a little more shy or don't or aren't quite ready, or they're curious but they're not quite ready for the practice. I never tell people you must touch your bits and you must do it this way. That's absolutely not my jam. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I offer suggestions and ideas and invitations, and folks are welcome to take some of them, do them if they'd like, if it sounds right in the moment. If not, that's fine too. Like I'm not grading you. There's not, you know, like a checklist I'm making people check off. Oh, and now they did the thing. Like I don't get hung up on it. I just want people to look at pleasure in a broader, bigger way than we typically do. It's not always just about what's between our legs. It's our whole entire bodies. It's noticing the little things. It's savoring. It's getting in touch with breath. It's so many things.
So I wonder too, for the people, because I'm sure that there are people listening to this going, holy fuck, she's talking about masturbating in public. Like, I know that there's people who are just immediately going there and who might be thinking that's crazy. But I wonder if those are the people that could really benefit from this kind of practice. And in the sense that if it makes you a little bit nervous, it might really be something that could benefit you in terms of broadening your sexual horizons and your exploration if you kind of take that leap and go into the space. Because I mean, I've seen you facilitate things, and I know that you're very gifted at creating safe and welcoming spaces for people to explore. So yeah, I think what do you think?
I mean, like, if someone was looking at the practice from like a very surface level, yes, it does look like masturbating or self-pleasuring in a circle or in a, you know, with a group of people, but that's like super surface. And I'm totally being honest when I say in each circle, it's totally different. Yes, sometimes it is a little more leaning towards, you know, a bit more like orgasmic, erotic sorts of feelings, sensations and sounds, but it's not always the case. There's been several circles over the years that I've been facilitating this where it was a lot more gentle, exploratory, just timid, nervous. So it just depends, like whoever is coming into the space as well. Like I said, I try to offer like a range of what can happen in a space and try to, even though again, the title is orgasmic yoga, more recently I have been moving towards erotic embodiment practice to more encapsulate that broader way that people can participate in this practice. But the thing is that, yeah, it does look different every time. And I never tell people to touch themselves in this exact way, or, you know, have an orgasm now or whatever. Like, it's not that structured in that way. I'm just there to offer suggestions. And, you know, being in a space with a group offers a little bit of like an accountability practice or accountability space in a way, where it's, again, I'm not like sitting there grading you with a checklist or anything like that. It's difficult when you're on your own sometimes, even though you might have the intention or the desire to do an exploratory practice like this on your own. And I have done this on my own many times over the years. Years ago, I did like a month-long masturbation May, 30 days of O yoga practice. So it can be done. It's kind of a lot. And I recommend it, but it's a different feeling. It's a different energy. One, when you're on your own and you don't really have the bits of energy that other people have to bounce off of.
That would be huge to like be in a space where you're all, I mean, of course everybody has, like you said, different specific intentions and things that they want to work on personally and grow and learn. But to all come into that space with, I mean, there's got to be a group intention that you're all here for, you know, to explore your sexuality, be in betterment. And it seems to me that there would be something really like give and take about that, like really that you would take away a lot of that energy in a positive way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we get into the space, I ask everyone like what brought them in there, what they're hoping to sort of get out of it, like what their intentions are for the night. And it does vary, but I think at the core of it is wanting to, I keep using this phrase, add to their erotic menu. You know, it's think of pleasure, sexuality as a buffet. And you can go for, you know, I don't know, you can go for the pizza sometimes, you can go for a clam chowder another time, like, or steak or burgers, whatever they have. And it's all different. It's all delicious. And so you don't have to have the same things every time. So often when we're self-pleasuring or having a partnered sexual encounter, we go for the A to B, tried and true. This is the way that gets me off. This is touch me here, A, B, C, D. And, you know, I have an orgasm or whatever, or ejaculation. But this is giving us more time to explore, to discover. And it's even like the maybe not so positive things that come up in the space, because certainly, and I make space for that in our discussions as well. That's also part of the learning. If you're like, I don't know what to do with this feeling, reaction, experience. And I don't know if it's for me, but that's fine. That's part of learning. I'm not saying like you have to come back. I mean, it would be nice. And I do have repeat people. But if it ends up not being for someone, that's totally fine. I hope that it opens people's eyes to the idea that there's so much choice and options within our pleasure practices.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm right now myself working on a masturbation practice, and I consider it a practice like you have been referring to orgasmic yoga, because I think it really is a practice in the sense that I think sex is a skill, and we don't make room for that in our society. Really, it's just like you're going to get together and it's going to work. Well, sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have a bad day and you're not doing it right, and it's not working, and you can't jive with your partner, and you can't do what they want. And I think we don't realize that there is a skill in sexuality, because we don't teach it. We don't acknowledge that there is learning to be done around it. And we can train ourselves to learn what, you know, arousal looks like in a partner and what it looks like in ourselves, and different techniques and strokes and various things. And again, that is superficial and on a physical level, but we don't acknowledge that. And so people, I think, don't even sometimes have a concept that they can grow this menu and find other ways to give and receive pleasure. And I think it's so vitally important that we don't do things in the same way. It's not that there's anything wrong with getting off.
No, and it's
like
totally fine to have those tried and true ways that work for you.
But sometimes I think we should almost, I have moments where I'm like, maybe we should take orgasm off the menu and just like, feel the pleasure and not have it be so goal oriented.
Absolutely. I am all for that. Definitely. And the thing is, we're constantly changing. Our bodies are constantly changing. You know, if we're fortunate enough, we get to age and that will look different ways depending on whatever's going on in our bodies and our lives, health wise, et cetera, mobility wise, pain wise, all these different things. And so I think the more we're able to have options within our pleasure as early as we can, as soon as we're aware to look for those options, then our pleasure as we age won't be maybe as scary, or if it changes, or if it doesn't look the way it was when we were 18, 19, because things.
Yeah, but isn't that being able to adapt to new pleasure and sensation? Like, isn't that kind of what it's all about?
Exactly. Like, yes. Being adaptable. Mm-hmm.
Because not every partner is going to be able to pleasure you or receive what you're giving them in the same way as any of your previous partners. So yeah, I think it's constantly evolving, and I think we would do well, even if you're in, you know, a long-term committed monogamous relationship or what have you, I think we would do well to explore, maybe if your partner doesn't want to do it with you, even on your own, you can still expand your sexuality. I think, and I think that's so vital.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is, tell us what sexological bodywork is.
Sexological bodywork is a modality of sex pleasure education, touch-based typically, where the practitioner does the touch to the client. The client does not touch the practitioner. Practitioner is always fully clothed, and gloves are used, particularly when genital work is being done. And so it's a way to do pleasure mapping, genital mapping, to discover ways to explore pleasure head to toe, as well as to maybe like heal or overcome sexual concerns, difficulties. And it's usually, we try to do within like, you know, have several sessions so that the learning can happen over time. A lot of times we'll give homework to be done outside of the studio or outside of the hands-on space, because there's only so much I can do for you, you know, or we can do for you within a session. But if you don't carry it forward on your own, I mean, that's, yeah, it's important to keep practicing. And so a lot of times we'll use, we'll incorporate breath work, consent exercises, making sure that even though, you know, you're on the table and you want to do this work, that you always have your yes and no, and that there's that two-way communication always happening. So yeah, it's an incredible practice. I wish more people knew about it.
But I was just going to jump in. Like, it's not just for people who might be experiencing an issue that they weren't working on. It's similar to yoga in the sense, or orgasmic yoga in the sense that a good practitioner will help you expand.
That's right. Yes. So it is definitely a twofold or two-pronged, two streams of the practice, where one can be more like healing or overcoming concerns, but also learning and exploring pleasure more deeply. Mm-hmm.
And so you're currently practicing?
I have not had a sexological body work practice in a while. That's mainly due to issues with a space, having a location to practice it out of, which is a long story that I will not bore your listeners with, but I am happy to potentially work with people as the case may arise. Everything's on my website if people want to learn more. And
yeah, for sure.
So yeah, which will be linked somewhere.
We'll have the links in. Yeah. You've received sexological bodywork sessions as well, right?
Yes. So I received them during my training while we were all working on each other for the 2 weeks or so of the intensive. And then afterwards, I offered my body to students who were going through the training after I was, because I was knowing how difficult it was to find people to work on. I wanted to be available in that way. And so that was a cool experience to not only have the chance to receive body work, but also to be able to offer, you know, critiques and feedback on different ways that I might approach a situation. And I got to say, it's been way too long since I've had body work, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
It's super delicious. If you, yeah, just to kind of, it's an act of receiving too, where
yeah,
you're being able to communicate and direct a little bit. And it's, yeah, love it.
So what is your, I confess, I'm sure that I'm like many people out there listening, like I do have a lot of intention to develop my own personal practices more, and life just gets in the way and it gets crazy. So sometimes I just resort to straight up masturbation,
right?
Which is fine. But I mean, I bought a jade egg, and I bought a great course about just learning how to deepen the pleasure in your body. And they both sort of have sat there for a while as I try to find the time to dive into them. So my personal practice right now is kind of gone to shit a little bit. But I'm wondering if you have a personal practice that you would be willing to talk about, and if you've found some things that work for you.
So I would just like to say, you know, hold a little bit of compassion for yourself around not doing it the way you maybe set out to do. Listen, we're all human, we're all busy, or things come up, or it's hard to prioritize pleasure and practicing and all these different things. Even not that, skill building, like it takes time, you know? So definitely hold space and compassion around that. You and your listeners and myself and everybody. I don't have a very consistent practice outside of, you know, facilitating yoga with folks monthly, which I'm especially grateful for, because at least I have that one time a month where I get to kind of sit down and practice that as well. But I, among my larger overarching practices over the past year or so, maybe a bit more, year and a half, is noticing the small things and looking at pleasure as larger and more broadly than we typically would look at it. So an example I often use is, and it doesn't have to take extra time in your day, which I love, and I know people who are busy will love. It's something as simple as like when you're getting out of the shower and you're toweling off and just incorporating that noticing into that moment of the, you know, the material, the textile rubbing against your skin and soaking up the water, and how it like hugs against you when you wrap yourself up in it. Little things like that, which don't add a ton of time to your day or hardly any time at all. It's just that those noticing practices, it's as simple as, you know, noticing, hey, I'm sitting in a chair right now, and where is it hitting? You know, it's under my thighs. It's kind of sort of part of my butt is like touching it, like all these different things. Noticing small things just as you're part of your day, just being aware, because we turn different things off to be able to compartmentalize and go through our day, of course. So yeah, so that's been my main practice of late, in terms of pleasure, is noticing. I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah, well, it's funny that I had a memory as soon as you said that from this morning. I woke up, and I always sleep naked. So I woke up and it just popped into my head. You got pills?
Me?
Oh, but it sounded like pillows.
Oh, I'm
like,
are you having stirring my coffee? Sorry.
Okay. I was like, wow, you're going hardcore this afternoon. all good. Stuff dice. Yeah. So I kind of woke up this morning, and what popped into my head, was, oh, hello, body. And I just like kind of gave myself like, I woke up laying on my back. So kind of just gave myself like a, as much as I could reach, like, you know, neck, breasts, genitals, down to my knees, and just was like, hey, how you doing? How you feeling today? Because I've been, you know, getting back into working out and getting back into pole dance, which I find like getting into that physicality is pleasurable. And it's not necessarily sexual, but it's just the pleasure of my body moving and feeling that it's strong enough to do this thing. And it's been actually really frustrating, because I don't know if you know, I broke my wrist in the summer. And it's been really frustrating to like get back onto the pole, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. Like, because I just don't have the strength back yet, and the flexibility is a big issue too. So as much as I've been enjoying, like, hey, this is just how my body can move now, there was that moment this morning of like, let's just like enjoy the feeling of my hands on myself. Like, and it sounds so cheesy, but I had a really great day as a result. Like, I woke up like really energized and I got a lot of work done. Like, my own, I have a day job, as you know. Mm-hmm. I think my listeners know I have a day job, but I got up early and I did some of my own work, some writing. Then I had to do some day job stuff. And then I went to the gym and now I'm like, it's 2:00. Look what I accomplished. I am amazing. And I do think it really stems from the morning. I just like checked in, a little physical touch, and then a little like, let's just love ourselves today. And off it all went.
Oh, I love that. It's just, it's, you know, it's not that big. It is cheesy, but that's okay. I love cheese. But it all comes down to framing, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, this, you know, I want to make sure that we call out that it's not going to be as easy for everybody, because everyone's going through something else. And depending on, you know, who you are and various intersections of identity, maybe it's not as easy to just be like, hey, cool. It might be, you know, you're arming yourself against the world to be able to survive a day. I just want to make, you know, note of that as well.
No, you're right.
But
sure.
in the moments that we can, I think it's important, if we can, to, yeah, try to give ourselves a little bit of, even if not like self-love, a little bit of like acceptance, just a little bit of, hey, you know, you're here and you've made it this far and, you know, keep doing it. Yeah, it can be really important and helpful. And shoot, I know that I have those days. I live on a second floor and we don't, it's an old building, so we don't have elevators or anything. But when I leave the house for the first time in the day, it's like, okay, what is the knee going to do? First step, I feel like it's like cracking a glow stick. I've decided that's what it is. So, is it going to be good? Is it a good day? Is it just like, okay, we're making it, it's happening. Thanks body for, you know, even though that hurt, or, oh no, it didn't hurt that much today. Cool. It's going to be a good day. Just noticing, if you can, be appreciative of where you are.
God, I live on the 20th floor and our elevators in here are constant. It's a newer building, but the elevators are constantly down. And I don't leave my apartment thankful that I can take the stairs. I'm not going to lie. I get out of my apartment and I'm really irritated that I have to take the stairs. But then, you know, I get to the bottom and I'm like, okay, I should be thankful that I can walk up and down 20 flights of stairs if I have to. I'd be happy about it, but I can do it. And that's, you know what, and that, I do really feel that that is a gift, that I'm, you know, mobile and healthy and, yeah. Anything else you want to talk about?
I feel like we covered it. We're efficient.
I kind of feel too. I was like, wow, darn. Victoria just like rolled out all the good shit.
Oh, I just remembered now something I wanted to add about how to maybe make it easier to incorporate a practice of, you know, self-pleasure or yoga or what have you. I love recommending that you make like a music playlist. I always have music going on in my classes and it'll be a range of some things that are, you know, that don't have lyrics, just instrumental, and some things that are more contemporary, and it just a range and sort of what I decide to lay on people. But if you can make like a playlist of like, and it depends, 30 minutes, if that's too much, you know, 15 minutes, whatever sounds doable to you, can be really helpful. That way you're not necessarily staring at a clock, because right, that could be like, is it time? When do I end? What happens? So that could be really nice. And then also having different, you know, music helps create different moods and you can feel it in your body in different ways. And that can be really, really fun. And I sometimes get
not
to toot my horn and I'm just making a playlist. It's not like I created the music, you know, but thanks Spotify. I'm not sponsored by Spotify. That would be cool though.
Spotify.
But I sometimes get compliments on the playlist that I create because like some song will like, you know, jump out at one of the students in a certain way, or they're like, oh yeah, I always want to put music, but I never do. And so I love that you do this. So, hey, you know, Again, I like to facilitate an experience.
Is it possible for you to share those playlists?
Yeah, I have a couple that I'd be happy to link from my Spotify. I'll send you the links and can include them.
Mm-hmm. Great. So if you do want to check out Dr. Vixen, she has very kindly sent over a couple links, one on orgasmic yoga, and then second one is also a video on O Yoga. I'll also link to her website so you can find her and Spotify playlist. And if you're in the, because you operate in the LA West Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm mostly in Los Angeles. I'm mainly on the east side of LA, Lincoln Heights, when I do my practice. But also, I do occasionally have a spot on the west side in like Culver City-ish area. But I am super happy to travel if folks want me to come to their town and do this, you know, get in touch. I would love to see new places and bring this to other folks.
We'll put all of the info in the show notes so that people can find you and possibly study with you. I have, like I said earlier, only once or twice, but I've been in a group that Victoria facilitated. And like I said, she is a very gifted facilitator and practitioner. And if you ever have the opportunity to work with her, I would highly, highly recommend it. I don't think you will be disappointed because she's just got an amazing aura and energy and really wants her students to be successful. So look her up and find her.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for coming out. It was so good to catch up and chat. And next time in LA, I am going to hit the O Yoga.
I would love to have you there.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wodkey. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wodkey Facebook group or check out jenwodkey.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.